As we turned there, I asked Sister Charlene, or I asked Keith, who asked her for a list of our membership. And I went through, and there's, what did we count, Jill, 7 or 8 folks that we haven't seen in a good long time. So I would like to organize a search party for some of these folks. So if y'all are interested in joining in the party, let me know. And we'll get together some times and some things and try to work some things out. Also, Jill and I and the kids will be gone next Sunday. My older brother Doug, he's on the prayer list. He's the one that fell and hit his head. They're having a Bible conference in West Virginia, so we're gonna be there. So be in prayer for that meeting, please. So, hymn number 139.
And you left your room this morning.
Gilead was known for the medicinal balms and salves and all this kind of stuff, but through the Old Testament it's reminding that in Christ there is that pill for everything. He's got the cure for all our diseases. So when it's asking for the balm of Gilead, it's talking about Christ. Did you seek after Christ? Number 88.
When I survey the wonder
Says we're looking for a pastor. I was doing some study in the the next series I want to do on Sunday nights. By the way, there's a series going on Sunday nights now about the churches. There's two more left, so you got time to catch up a little. But the next series is the qualifications of the man we're looking for, or should be looking for. But something went straight through my heart as I looked. Am I looking for a pastor with the same urgency I'm looking for sinners? What am I doing to look for a pastor? What am I doing to look for sinners? So it's a pretty sobering thought. So we should be looking for sinners, but we should also be looking for a pastor. And there's some qualifications there, so we'll be going over that. So Brother Charlie, at this time, he's going to come preach to us. So Brother Charlie.
How y'all are this morning? I was going to preach, but this morning I'm going to read a whole pile of scriptures. A whole pile of scriptures. First off, being Corinthians, so you ain't no need y'all even thinking about catching up, because I can flip my pages faster than you can do your computers. But in Corinthians it says, "What will ye? That I should come to you with a rod, and not with love and the spirit of meekness." It's not my job to beat you into subjection. It's not my job to try to correct you. It's my job to tell you what God's Word says. And if you don't see the verse the way I see it, That's between you and God. If you don't see the verse the way I've interpreted it, that's between you and God. What shall ye? That I should come to you with a rod to beat you into my understanding, or that I should come to you with love and with the spirit of meekness? In Romans chapter 14, I'll start in the last verse of 13. But put ye on the Lord Christ, and make no provision for the faith to fulfill the lust thereof. That I should boast in anything I get anybody to do, put you on the Lord Jesus Christ. That I don't try to get proud in the things that I get folks to do, but in the fact that I preach Jesus. And if Jesus changes you or motivates you or moves you, praise God. Him that is weak in the faith, that's me, undoubtedly. I am very weak in the faith. I do not do everything the Bible says. And if there's anyone here that does, please stand up. That I am weak in the faith. Receive ye, but not to doubtful disputations. For one believeth that he may eat all things. Another, who is weak, eateth herbs. Let not him that eateth despise him that eateth not. And let not him which eateth judge, not judge him that eateth, for God hath received him. Who art thou that judgest another man's servant? To his own master, God, Jesus Christ, hello, he standeth or falleth, yea, he shall be holden up, for God is able to make him stand. One man esteemeth one day above another. Another esteemeth every day alike. Let every man be fully persuaded in his own mind. He that regardeth the day regardeth it unto the Lord, and that he that regardeth not the day to the Lord he doth not regard it. He that eateth to the Lord and giveth thanks to God and giveth God thanks. And he that eateth not to the Lord he eateth not and giveth God thanks. For none of us liveth to himself, and no man dieth to himself. For whether we live or live unto the Lord, or whether we die unto the Lord. Whether we live therefore or die therefore, we are the Lord's. For to this end Christ both died and rose and revived, that he might be Lord both of the dead and the living. But why dost thou judge thy brother? Why dost thou set at naught thy brother? For we shall all stand before the judgment seat of Christ. For it is written, as I live, saith the Lord, every knee shall bow, every tongue shall confess to God. Verse chapter 15. We then that are strong ought to bear the infirmities of the weak, and not please ourselves. Please forgive me of my infirmities. Bear my infirmities. If you're stronger than me, you're tougher than me, you're more spiritual than I am, God bless you. But bear my infirmities. Bear my weaknesses. Bear my thing that I have not got to your stuff yet. Forgive me of my weakness. It says, let every man, every one of us, please his neighbor for his good to edification. For even Christ pleased not himself, but as it is written, the reproaches of them that reproach him fell on me. For whatsoever things were written aforetime were written for our learning, that we, through the patience and comfort of Scriptures, might have hope. 1 Peter. Now I'm going to preach. 5, and then I'm going to go back to 3. But in 1 Peter 5, talking to the guy who gets up here, me, or anyone else, me or anyone else who stands up here before you, y'all almost did that this morning, says, the elders which are among you I exhort, who am also an elder, and a witness of the suffering of Christ, and also the partaker of the glory that shall be revealed, feed the flock of God which is among you, taking the oversight thereof, not by constraint, but willingly, not for filthy lucre, but of a ready mind, neither be lords over God's heritage, but being examples to the flock. For when the chief shepherd shall appear, ye shall receive a crown of glory that fadeth not away. You know, Paul talked to the Corinthian church, and there's a Peter speaking here. He wrote more letters to the Corinthian church than anybody in the world. They were having drunken parties. They were doing all kind of crazy stuff. They were bringing their brothers against the brother against the law and the judges and everything else. But he says, what will you? I've told you your faults. I've told you your stuff. But it's you that are my children, or my heritage of God. It's you that I have to love. It's you that I take joy in. It's you that I have to face every day. Why do I want to beat you up? In chapter 3, girls, I like the girls. Chapter 3, Peter. Peter, chapter 3. Don't get lost. Don't get lost. Because I have a rhyme to my reason, or a reason to my rhyme. It says, likewise, ye wives, be in subjection to your own husbands, that if any obey not the word, they also may without the word be won by the conversation of the wives. While they behold your chaste conversation coupled with fear, that means purity, holiness, loveliness, kindness, right acting. Your chaste conversation coupled with fear of God, that you know you're going to act right and do right and be right, whose adorning, I think that has something to do with apparel or something, I could really be wrong there, whose adorning, let it not be with the outward adorning of plaiting of hair and of the wearing of gold or the putting on of apparel, but let it be of the hidden man of the heart, in that which is not corruptible, even the ornament of a meek and quiet spirit, which is in the sight of God of great peace. What price, should I say? God likes the inward places. I remember a man who heard a sermon one time, and that preacher preached that a man would dress like a man, and a woman ought to dress like a woman. And when I say that, he had the concept that she ought to be wearing a dress. And she ought to have her collar up to here and her dress down to there. And she ought to be wearing a certain thing. Don't get mad at me yet. But this was the concept that man was preaching. A woman could only be a true woman if she was dressed like his idea of how she ought to be dressed. And I fell into that. And I says, baby, and my wife was already wearing a dress at that time, going to church, but at that time she also wore pants and stuff other places. But I all of a sudden got convicted that for my wife to be a truly perfect wife, she must wear a dress everywhere. And so I told her I would prefer her to wear her dresses everywhere, and she loved me so much that she wore her dresses everywhere. So when I was working on the house or whatever, and she was in her other clothes because she wasn't out with y'all, that before she could go to the store and buy a sandwich for me, or go to the store and pick up some nails for me, she had to go back in the house, take off all of her clothes that she had on, sweaty, hot, whatever, so that nobody could see her looking other than what my idea of perception of her was, and she put on a dress. Now I ask you, is that subjection? Is that love? Is that having her where she's? But it dawned on me that by me putting that burden on her at the family reunions, she was dressed everybody wearing their shorts or whatever. And I ain't talking about getting naked, but I'm talking about being comfortable. I'm talking about being able to be around other folks and be comfortable. She was there in her prim and proper attire because her hubby loved it. I wondered, is Christ going to want us to do like that? And so it dawned on me one day that I have really put a burden on my wife. Now, Christ, I understand, is supposed to take the burden off of people. But I put a burden on her. And now, while I expect her to wear clothes in church, now if it comes to a place where she gets too cold and has to wear pants, she will wear ladies' pants. That's not a problem with me. Feminine attire on a feminine person. Masculine attire on a masculine person. But it says here, it is not the attire that makes the person. It says here in chapter 3, it says, but let it be the hidden man of the heart. You see, she can put on all these clothes and still be rebelling on the inside. She can put on that long dress and still be, I got on the dress for you, buddy, but in my heart I hate every minute of it. In my heart I refuse to bow down, but on the outside, just so you'll quit arguing and fighting, cussing and fussing with me, I'll put that thing on. You see, we do the same thing with Jesus. I'll go to church so he'll shut up. What do you think some people's husbands come to church? So the wife will quit nagging. You think the peace at home is nice? Yeah. So if I can go tolerate Jesus for 1 hour at church, if I can go tolerate the preacher for 1 hour at church, just to get her to shut up. That's what some people do. Just to get them to get off my case. It's not our job, ladies, to win them by nagging them to death. It's not our case as men to nag them to death. It's our case to love them from the inner man, from the inner heart, in that which is not corruptible, even an ornament of a meek and quiet spirit, which is in the sight of God a great price. I will get more people in here by being meek. I will get my wife to do more for me by being meek. I will get my husband to do more for me by being meek than I will by anything else I do. For after this manner, in old time, the holy women also, who trusted in God. I would venture to say that all these women in here trust in God. If you're a believer in Jesus Christ, you're a holy woman who trusts in God. All these holy women who trusted in God, let's see what they did. Adorn themselves, being in subjection to their own husbands, even as Sarah obeyed Abraham, calling him Lord. She ain't going to do that for me. And yours probably ain't going to do that for you. But she loves me as head of the house. Your wife loves you as head of the house. My wife brings me great joy. I do not want to put a burden on her. I do not want to put an extra burden on her. Whatever you and your wife do at your house or whatever you think y'all need to wear, that's y'all stuff. But a meek and a gentle spirit, that's God's stuff. That's from the heart. If you're being meek and gentle, you can't cover that up. That's real stuff. So even as Sarah, likewise. And likewise ye husbands, dwell with them, according to the knowledge, giving honor unto the wife as unto the weaker vessel. And as being heirs together of the grace of life, that your prayers be not hindered. Have you ever seen two people, followed some people in church? I followed people in church before. And you just said, take it, argue, and fight. And then when you drive up in the driveway, they get out the doors, and they put on their Jesus faces. And they walk in, and they sit down, and they sit beside each other, so loving. And when they get back in, they go, where are we going to go? Where are we going to fight? You know, the inner man comes out. We could cover it up in here. We could put on airs. We could put on all kind of things. But the thing is, we should be lifting up is Jesus Christ. It says, husbands, dwell with them according to knowledge. I do not prove a point by making a picture out of anybody unless it's Jesus Christ. I am not Jesus Christ. I fall short of Jesus Christ. I am a long way from being y'all's spiritual leader. Finally, be ye of one mind, having compassion one to another. Love as brethren, be pitiful, be courteous. There is a time to call a person or whatever outside and discuss things with them. But we need to be careful up here that we don't hurt feelings. Now don't get me wrong, the Holy Spirit takes care of feelings and stuff like that. We have to be careful not to hurt feelings. Finally, brethren, be of one mind, be of compassion. Be of compassion. You know that Christ died for me when I was a wicked, low-down sinner? Christ died for me when I was worthless. Christ died for me when I was useless. Christ died for me when I was His enemy. He showed compassion, having mercy on me by the washing of regeneration. And He's the one that's going to make me a clean, spotless bride. He's the one that's going to deliver me from my undone stuff. And if by chance I don't agree with the way you've interpreted this or the way he's interpreted that, either I'll keep studying until I come to it or whatever. But if all I do is make you mad every time you come to church, one day you're going to quit coming. And it says that Christ died for that weak brother. Christ died for that weak sister. And if I run them off by badgering them, then I am in trouble with Christ because I haven't grown the church up, but I have torn the church down. It says, not rendering evil for evil, and I don't think anybody here does that. Railing for railing. Contrawise, blessing. My job is to bless you. My job is to praise you when you're doing better. My job, now don't get me wrong, we are supposed to point out sins, we are supposed to point out faults, but I am not supposed to point out my convictions. And if I have, I'm sorry. Because my convictions don't count. My convictions are not God's convictions. I may not read every verse correctly. I may not interpret every scripture the way you or somebody else does. But don't beat me up. Don't beat me up. And for sure, do not attack my wife. It says, blessing, knowing that ye are thereunto called, that ye should inherit a blessing. We were all saved by the grace of Jesus Christ. We are all sinners saved by grace. We were all brought into this place to love and to cherish Christ and to lift Him up. And yes, yes, I do not think we should be weak Christians. Don't misunderstand what I'm saying. I don't think we should be carnal Christians. Don't misunderstand what I'm saying. But just because I'm still carnal doesn't mean I'm not still growing. All of the Corinthian church was nothing but carnal. Parties and pleasures and fun and stuff. But they were still the body of Christ. They were still His children that He bore in Christ. Just like you're children of Christ. Just like every one of you, somebody brought you forth into the body of Christ through the Scripture, through gospel, through the preaching of the Word. And while I was not instrumental in any of y'all's salvation, somebody was. And that person's whole objective was to get you saved. Their whole objective was to get you in the body of Christ. Now, I want to lift you up. I want to praise you for the things you do by showing up for church, by praying and worshiping and doing the right things. On the other hand, I want to help you learn there's things we could do better. But I don't want to beat you up every weekend or every week about certain things. what churches over here do, they're an autonomous, independent church. If they think they ought to be doing this, that's their business. Over here, there's an autonomous Baptist church, and if they think they ought to be doing that, that's their business. Now, if we want to have a meeting in here and decide what our business is, maybe we need to have one. But it says, until then, I'm supposed to love you. I'm supposed to build you up. I'm supposed to lead you towards Jesus Christ, who can save you, forgive you, wash you of all your sins and imperfections. And all I can do is be a pointer to her. I'm a pointer to her. I'm not even a good under shepherd, because I'm as carnal as you get. I do bad things. I've done told y'all this. I'm not perfect. Neither do I figure I'll ever be perfect before the rapture. I'm sorry. I apologize. Forgive me. But I don't think I'm going to have every one of these things worked out like some of you got worked out. But I'll tell you what I will do. I'll love you. I'll love you. I changed pages before I was ready. For he that will love life and see good days, let him refrain his tongue from evil, and his lips, that they speak no guile. Let him eschew evil and do good. Let him seek peace and ensue it. For the eyes of the Lord are upon or over the righteous, and his ears are open unto their prayers. But the face of the Lord is against they that do evil. To who is he that will harm you, if ye be followers of that which is good? You know, all I am is a follower. I'm a follower of that which is good. There's a verse in the Bible that I used to really take great pride in, should I say. Great peace have they which love thy law, and nothing shall offend them. You really think that works? Not really. Not really. I'm a spiritual. Great peace have they which love thy law. I love his law. But I can certainly be offended. And everyone in here can also. Great peace have they which love thy law. For the eyes of the Lord are over the righteous, and the ears are open, and his ears are open unto their prayers. Unto their prayers. Husbands and wives getting along in accord makes it where their prayers go before God and are heard. Now I'm sitting here in my weak little mind, and I say, well, does that mean if me and my wife don't totally agree on things that our prayers no longer get heard? God forbid. God forbid. But I do know that when we're in accord with each other, me and my wife, you and your wife, you and your wife, you and your wife, that our prayers have a whole lot more significance than whether our children get saved or whether somebody gets healed or is well or whatever. So if we're in disaccord with each other, we need to get together and get in accord. But it says here, for who is he that will harm you? And then I go back to Romans chapter 8, and I hate to quote this wrongly, but who shall bring a charge against God's elect? Is it Christ that died? Yea, that is risen? Be careful when you attack a brother. Be careful when you jump all over a brother, because it's Christ that died. Yea, that is risen. Who is even at the right hand of God, making intercession for poor little old me. Poor little old me. And for you also. It says, But, and if you suffer for righteousness, I do very little of that because I'm not very righteous. So I don't got to worry about suffering for righteousness too often. But it says, if you suffer for righteousness' sake, happy are you. Great joy. joy unspeakable and full of glory, as it is written. If you suffer for righteousness' sake, happy are you. And be not afraid of the terror, neither be troubled, but sanctify the Lord God in your hearts. In your hearts. In your inner man. In your inner self. Be ready always to give an answer to every man that asketh you the reason of the hope that is in you with meekness and fear. Because I am so carnal, because I am so weak, I cannot boast in why I am where I'm at. I cannot boast in where I stand. And when somebody asks me, why are you a Christian? Why are you a follower of Jesus Christ? I have to say, because Jesus Christ saved me. When I was yet a sinner, He died for me. He quickened me. He made me alive to spiritual things. And He is my teacher. And I will only grow as fast as He will bring me along. I can't boast in a thing I've ever done. Why am I a Christian? Not because I go to church. Not because I put on a coat and a tie. Not because I wear polished... Ooh, I forgot polished. Not because I wear polished shoes. I'm a Christian because of what Jesus Christ has done. I'm a Christian only because of what Jesus Christ has done. He never told me, now that you're a Christian, you got all these rules to follow. That other guys... You remember the Galatians? I remember the Galatians. They were in chapter 6. You brought it up. And I almost, man, you're stomping in my mud hole this morning. But they were talking about, you're saved, but you also need to be circumcised. And why did they want those guys circumcised? So they could glory in their flesh. Now think about this. If this Sunday we came up with some great idea that I did, and I said, next Sunday I want all y'all guys to wear a white shirt and a bow tie. And y'all all came in here next Sunday with a white shirt and a bow tie. Do you reckon God would get the glory, or I'd say, look at what I have done? I would be ashamed, because I have caused y'all to do something. I have to be careful in these things, because I would be proud. Man, look at what I did. I don't want y'all to wear a white shirt and a bow tie. Y'all look like Jehovah's Witnesses or something, but don't do that. But I'm just trying to say, we have to be careful as preachers, as teachers, as to stick to the Word of God. Just understand that there are weak Christians. To understand that there are Christians that we can offend if we don't watch out. And the bad thing is, or the good thing is, Christ died for even them. And the Scripture is very plain that when I cause a weaker brother to fall, or to get out of church, or to quit because of the pressure that I, as being more spiritual, put on them, then I better watch out. Because if I do that, I will stand before God one day. And in chapter 5 it says, to that brother, and when the chief shepherd shall appear, ye shall receive a crown of glory that fadeth not away. That's if you're leading the way you're supposed to. But if you're leading because you're lording over them, or overpowering them, or trying to put restraint on them that they have not came to yet, you better be careful, because you may lose that reward. You may lose that reward if you're seeking after it. It says, likewise, ye younger, submit yourselves unto the elders. I'm glad I'm not old, because I ain't going to be submitted to, because I'm not an elder. I'm just a little young guy. Yea, all of you be subject one to another and be clothed with humility. For God resisteth the proud and giveth grace to the humble. Humble yourselves therefore under the mighty hand of God, that he may exalt you in due time, casting all your care upon him, for he careth for you. Be sober, be vigilant, because your adversary the devil, as a roaring lion, walketh about seeking whom he may devour. God has told us to watch out. God has told us, not only as preachers and over the elders and over the flock and over this thing, and even as regular Christians, that we need to be vigilant and we need to be sober and we need to be humble and we need to understand where we came from, because the devil would like to get in here, and believe me, he could split this church tonight if he ain't already tried. I think it's time we get on our knees. And we get in front of God and remember what we're here for, because it's here to praise God. It's here to glorify God and not to glorify man. It's here for him and not man. Casting all your care upon him, for he careth for you. Who resisteth steadfast in the faith, knowing that the same afflictions that accomplish in your brethren, that are in the world. Every one of us walks and talks and is in this world. Every one of us has the fight, and every one of us has a battle. Every one of us has people pulling at us. Every one of us has something else going on in our lives. And I don't know what's in your life all the way. And you don't know what's in my life. And I don't know what you're going through. And I don't know what you're going through. But I'm supposed to pray for you. And I'm supposed to love you. And I'm supposed to lift you up. And when you fall, I ain't supposed to rub your nose in it. I'm supposed to love you until you come around. And you may not. Paul wrote 3 different letters to the Corinthians. They did not come around. They were still a church. Now, I understand we're learning about the churches. I'm really into this church thing. We all could do better. We all can do better. But the God of all grace, who hath called us unto his eternal glory by Christ Jesus, after that ye have suffered a while, make you perfect, establish, strengthen, settle you. To him be glory and dominion forever and ever. Amen. Amen. If Jesus Christ has touched your heart, if Jesus Christ has told you it's time to call upon the Lord and be saved, if Jesus Christ is dealing with you with the fact that you are lost or need salvation, come to Jesus. Don't come because I said something. Don't come because you want to shake hands to a preacher or some guy up front. Come because God has dealt with your heart. You see, I don't want anybody to come falsely. I don't want anybody to think there's something that they're not. But on the other hand, I want you to understand, if you are lost, that every single one of us was lost also. Every single one of us, other than the grace of God, are sinners. Not only are sinners, still sinners. I know I'm seated in the heavenlies, thank God. I know that my sins are forgiven, thank God. I wished I could live like I was that away, to the glory of God, but I don't. Because every day I get up and I sin some more. And every day I have to repent and say, God, I did it again. But there's a difference in me standing in front of God saying, God, I did it again, and I still ain't there, than the man who has never humbled himself to the Word of God, who has never called upon the Lord Jesus Christ to be saved. You see, even though I fall, and even though I'm carnal, and even though I'm weak, I am saved. And I'm a child of the God. I'm a child of the King. But if you have not humbled yourself to mighty God and acknowledged Him as being Savior, Lord, the one who can save you, then you can cry out all you want to no avail. You see, I have a covering for my sin. I have a covering for my weakness. I have a covering for my shortfalls. I have a covering, and His name is Jesus Christ. And if you don't know Him, you're without a cover. If you don't know Him, you're without a shield. If you don't know Him, you're without a buckler. You see, I will never get all this stuff right. But my Savior, Jesus Christ, got it all right. He loved me even as I was. And yes, He is conforming me to the image of His dear Son. But the word there is conforming. Conforming. And if I'm not conforming as fast as you want me to, forgive me. And if they are not conforming as fast as you want them to, forgive them. But above all, love me. Love me. Because I am weak. I am growing. And yes, I am not perfect. And if you think you want to become a member of this church by believing in the Lord Jesus Christ, you better understand that we ain't perfect. And guess what? You ain't perfect either. So why don't you just join us anyway? If the Lord has called you out, the Lord has pointed out your need to be saved, I'll tell you what you win. You win Jesus Christ. We're Lanyap. We're the fluffing on the thing. But you see, us alone don't get you nothing. Jesus Christ gets you eternal life. Jesus Christ saves. Jesus Christ washes away the sins of the sinner. Jesus Christ, as was spoken, nailed our sins and things to His cross, blotting out the ordinances that were against us. Thank God, there's no ordinance, no ordinance, no ordinance against me. No holy days, holidays, any days, if I fall or slip up, against me. Now, I'm not saying go sin. No, don't think that. But I am saying that in Jesus Christ I have forgiveness and I have acceptance and I am seated in the heavenly because God hath said so according to His good pleasure. And I need to love every one of y'all. And I hope I do. I never want anybody here to feel like they're less a good member. Unless I catch you out doing something really, 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 really bad. And then I hope I love you enough to get to you alone, hug you around the neck and say, brother, sister, you better be careful what you're doing. Notice I didn't say you need to do. I said you need to be careful what you're doing. Because first of all, the first person that's going to hurt is you. Second, it's going to hurt the church. And yes, I should protect the church. We have rules for that. But before I tear the church up, I need to try to restore that brother or sister. I love every one of you. Somebody better do an invitation before I preach for another 45 minutes here. So.
God has called you. souls. We would be glad to be healed.
Number 188.